Today we're going to cover the new lawsuit against Zillow, what it alleges, the Compass and Anywhere merger, the biggest shakeup in brokerage acquisitions in years, and a quick spotlight on Fixer.ai. Is it Fixer? Is it Fixer? I don't know, but it is a really cool tool that's helping me organize my email, and I just want to share it with you guys because you know I'm addicted to AI. So let's dive in. Welcome back to The Clean Close. I'm your host, Courtney Polis. If you've been following the headlines, you know the industry is under fire and under pressure. Yes, legally, financially, technologically. Okay, here are the allegations in the Zillow lawsuit. The lawsuit was filed on September 19th, 2025, and it pulls no punches. Some of the claims coming straight from the complaint, as reported by Inman, include: when potential buyers are on Zillow's website, Zillow tricks them into signing up with a Zillow agent. And if that agent is part of the Zillow Flex program, Zillow gets 40% of the agent's commission, a payment on the back end that is undisclosed to all parties involved. So I just want to start here because I've been an agent for 20 years. I've been a broker for 14 years. And never ever in the history of any referral fees were we ever required to disclose that referral fee to the consumer or client, because it doesn't affect what it is that they are paying or whatever the agreement is between, like, say, the agent and Zillow. The fact that the agent's willing to give 40% of their commission to Zillow for the lead doesn't change technically the amount that the buyer would be paying for agency representation. Now, under the new rules, this becomes a little trickier because the buyer agency fee isn't pre-negotiated. So I'm curious, because in the past, buyer agency fees were always pre-negotiated. So anyone suing Zillow in the past would never have had access to a negotiated buyer agency fee where you could assert that the buyer agent is charging a higher fee to the consumer based on that referral fee. Is 40% a high referral fee? Yes, it is. Has Zillow been making money off the backs of agents for all of this time without anyone stepping in? Yes, it has. It sure has. In fact, if you caught my op-ed in Inman this week, you'll see that I don't totally disagree with Refkin's claims that Zillow makes money off content it doesn't create. But did we all allow this to happen? Yes, we did. And why is this the first time this is coming up? So here's what I'm saying. In the past, when buyer agency fees were pre-negotiated, paid for by the seller, and put into the MLS and disclosed, there would very unlikely be a buyer negotiation with a buyer agent about increasing those fees as a result of the Zillow Flex fee. Like, the buyer agency fee was published, and like 95 times out of 100, that's what the buyer agent got, right? Of course, you know, I mean, the agent has to pay the broker and all the fees, et cetera. But I'm saying, like, you know, for the point of my explanation of this. So in this lawsuit, I'm like, how far back are they going? Because the new rules only took effect on August 17th with the buyer agency, the BRBC in California, the buyer agency agreements as a result of the NAR settlement, which allow buyer agents to negotiate directly with buyers for what they are owed. So if a buyer agent has to pay a big fat referral fee, but the buyer is willing to pay them whatever the buyer agent wants, I don't see how this poses any kind of issue for Zillow, because there are two parties, consenting people, I would presume, unless someone is under duress. Shout out Dominique. Anyway, even that's a little funky, because previously buyer agency fees were pre-negotiated. Okay. The suit also takes aim at Zillow's design choices, that familiar bright blue contact agent button. According to the complaint, it deceptively directs buyers to a Flex agent, not the listing agent, as consumers would expect. Again, hello, this has been going on for like a decade. They built their entire business on this. I would go to the MLS offices years ago and ask them, please, please put transparency in there, make it mandatory. Let us brand our photos as the seller's agent. Let us let the public know that we are the listing agents, and this person that's on this page with our listing is not the agent for the listing and not associated with the listing in any way. What's frustrating is that only recently, maybe in the past 3 years, I'd say, do we have our name on there now. I remember talking with the head of CRMLS at one point, and he said he was working on it, and then they did finally do it. Now the MLS does it. So now, if you go on Zillow, you can dig for the listing agent's information. Okay. But that's only recently, and it's almost like too far gone. But I'm like, why is this coming up now? Why is this all coming up now? That's weird to me, since we've been shouting about this for years, And also, why is it the consumers who are arguing for this instead of the agents who are feeling like their business is being stolen by Zillow? And in, I think very recently, I haven't checked today, but a big chunk of Zillow's income comes from agents paying them for referral leads. So maybe that's why agents haven't wanted to go head to head with Zillow, you know? So the fact that this is like a class action lawsuit on behalf of buyers, supposing that they're being charged more as a result of Zillow's referral fee, I don't know. But does Zillow allegedly dupe buyers into buyer agency? Definitely in the past, it felt that way. The language is sharp. Zillow's scheme has the intent and effect of unlawfully maintaining high and inflexible commissions that drive up the prices that buyers must pay. The plaintiffs say that 40% flex fee trickles down into inflated commissions that ultimately cost buyers more. I call bullshit on that. I'm calling bullshit right now. I just really don't think that buyer agents are inflating their fees in order for in order to accommodate the flex program. And if they are, they have every right to do so, because now the way that the rules work is that the buyer has the right to negotiate directly with the buyer agent for their buyer agency fees. Period. Does it matter? Like, one of the problems with our industry, what I was speaking about at Reimagine Conference a couple days ago, was that we don't have these metrics that distinguish different levels of experience or different level of competence. Okay, somebody can get their license and they look as much as a salesperson potentially to a consumer as somebody who's had their salesperson license for 10 years. You know, we have a broker and broker associate designation, but it's not like people even really know what that means. And now that we have people saying they founded teams, it makes the broker associate or broker mean less, you know, because these are just regular salesperson licensees calling themselves founders, even though the company that they work at has a founder. So I think it can be very confusing for the consumer to know who among us is maybe worth more because of our experience. Just throwing that out there. So since our industry doesn't have these like levels, I can see how, you know, maybe somebody feels like, oh, if this agent says I want XYZ amount, they're overcharging me because in fact they can't justify why they want that much since they don't have the experience for that, or they're not like doctor level or like whatever the equivalent would be in other professions. But that's not the rule we're under. Right now, any agent can negotiate any fee. And I have seen agents negotiating higher fees than what was previously common under the pre-negotiated buyer agency. So I'm not sure that this lawsuit, and even though all these lawyers on the other side were claiming victory and doing a happy dance, I don't think that they actually understood that giving us the permission as an industry to negotiate our value directly with our clients is not resulting in a discount. In fact, most of us who spend sometimes years with buyers before we ever get paid feel like finally we can establish our value. So anyway, just saying. And behind it all is a monopoly claim. The suit points out Zillow controls around 66% of the US real estate audience share, with 80% of home buyers going to Zillow first. So I don't know what it means by controls 66% of US real estate audience share. I don't know what details go into that that percentage, but will I easily agree that most of my clients look on Zillow? Yes, they do. It is the number one most searched site in America, which is why whenever they said, which I'll get to, that they were not going to allow any pocket listed properties to appear on the platform, I thought, finally, finally, Zillow, a company that I love to hate, has finally done something that I think actually calls checkmate on this big loophole, but I'll get there later. Anyway, one attorney said, Zillow didn't get to its place of market dominance, but through what we believe to be deceptive and illegal conduct, carefully designed to stifle competition at the expense of its own customers. Sound like somebody else we know? I mean, these hybrid portal brokerages are definitely having a conflict of interest moment that could have been prevented by NAR getting ahead of this exact problem. Where is it a conflict of interest when you are, as a brokerage, in a way, marketing your services for agency representation at the same time that you're charging agents who are your competition to be listed on the listings? There's a veiled threat there. And I actually remember when Zillow first came out, we all kind of felt like, oh my God, our leads are going to these random agents who are paying for leads when it should be coming to us. I mean, this is our listing. So I went to the MLS and I said, we need to be able to brand. Like, my sellers like my branding. That's why they choose me. And they said, well, it will muddy up everybody's IDX feed if you have Acme photos having an Acme logo in the corner. I think that should change. I honestly do. Because what we've done instead is we've gone ahead and allowed companies like Zillow and Redfin and even the MLS to put their logo. MLS puts its logo on our photos when it IDX it, but it put their branding all around our images and even advertise an agent to consumers who don't know how our system works and then have the audacity to charge us. This is not new news. So was it carefully designed to stifle competition? I think so. But so are some NAR policies, like clear cooperation and how it's been exploited by one of Zillow's biggest competitors, Compass. Now positioned to be a major, major conglomerate in American real estate. So let's get to the heart of the case. Deceptive steering, hidden fees, inflated commissions, and market dominance. That's what's being alleged. So is it fair? Or is this all rhetoric designed to paint Zillow as the villain? Zillow has been in these like kind of high profile lawsuits lately. And it's interesting because it is gaining some fans from people who, like me, have always kind of hated Zillow and the way that it does business. But anyway, Zillow will argue the Flex program is voluntary. Yes, it's voluntary. Agents don't have to sign up for that, okay? Agents choose to participate, and consumers are still free to work with the listing agent if they can find the name of the agent. I remember when I went to the MLS and I was like, you need to put our listing information in that IDX feed and make sure that it's publicized everywhere. And the answer I got was, there's a lot of pushback from old-timey agents who feel like that encourages buyers to go directly to the listing agent. And I'm like, first of all, there's a sign in the yard. There is a sign in the yard that has my name on it. Second of all, if your buyer doesn't have a signed exclusivity agreement, which was before the NAR lawsuit, they're not your client. They are not working with you. And that was the whole reason they gave for why they weren't pushing for transparency of the listing brokerage. Despite the fact that in our very own code of ethics, which I read every single time I start training with new agents at Acme, it literally says that you should only advertise other people's listings when you cite the brokerage, like at the minimum, the brokerage. So burying it in tiny font or, you know, hiding it in the description language and nobody reads those whole descriptions, it does feel a little deceptive. I'm going to just put my vote right in there, right there. Okay, critics counter that consumers were never told about these back-end deals and that Zillow's interface nudged them toward flex agents under misleading pretenses. I don't know. If you're a buyer and you go on Zillow and you find a listing that you find interesting and there's a contact an agent now button for a showing or whatever, Do you feel like you want to know that they pay Zillow 40% of the commission they earn if they sell you that house? Do you feel like that's something that would change your mind potentially, or is it something material? I guess that's what I want to know. I would love to know that, even in the comments, like, what do you think? The complaint also ties this to Zillow's controversial, I don't think it's controversial, 24-hour listing policy. So Clear Cooperation, that policy from National Association of Realtors, mandates that we enter a listing into the MLS within a certain time frame of signing the listing, but certainly within a certain time frame of marketing to the public. And Zillow's big like checkmate to Compass was, you can't do your three-phase marketing program anymore and expect that your listings, the majority of which do end up on the market, not sold off market, expect that we're going to put those on our site, the number one site in America. Oh, Lord. So plaintiffs say that rule further reinforces Zillow's dominance, but that rule is an NAR, I mean, technically clear cooperation is an NAR rule, but Zillow calling checkmate on Compass that way reinforces Zillow's dominance and inflates its profits. But it makes sense because Zillow makes its money off of access to listings. So if a bunch of the listings are not on the site, then it loses, you know, what it's selling, its product. Most brokerages, the product is the people. Like our sales agents are what we are selling. But in Zillow's case, it's really the search platform and all the ecosystem that comes from that search platform. Okay, so the big questions. Will the court certify this as class action? Will Zillow fight or settle? And will regulators like the FTC step in? Whatever happens, the fallout could reshape how portals monetize leads and maybe push brokerages to reclaim control of their own client pipelines. And may I also suggest if MLS and NAR can get on board, maybe this is another slap on our wrist or punch in the face saying, hey, the people who pay your membership fees deserve some representation here. Put our information in bold on IDX and let us brand. Just want to take a quick pause. If you are finding this conversation valuable, hit subscribe. This is new. Leave me a review. Share this episode with a friend or with a colleague who needs to stay in the know and wants to and enjoys learning about real estate news from all angles. I'm a broker. I have a bias, but you know, I'm also tell it like it is. That's my reputation. So let's get back into it. Okay, let's talk about the Compass and Anywhere acquisition, okay? Compass and Anywhere are merging in a $1.6 billion all-stock transaction, valuing the combined company at nearly $10 billion. Okay, I need to fact check that because I know there's a bunch of debt. I've heard $2 billion of debt is coming with this acquisition. The network is going to include over 340,000 agents in 120 countries. Anywhere, which used to be NRT and got a rebrand a few years ago, owns Coldwell Banker, Sotheby's, Century 21, some Corcorans, you know, Better Homes and Gardens, ERA, I think. Like, it's just like everyone. Like, it's kind of like when you're shopping for eggs at the grocery store. I just saw a post on this on Instagram. That's why I'm bringing it up. And it looks like you have a bunch of different choices. But if you check the license number of on the eggs, you'll see that almost all those different brands with the different branding are literally made in the same egg plant. They're made in the same egg manufacturing plant. Our farm, factory, farm, egg plant, manufacturing plant. Yeah. So you might get a whole bunch of different logos with your real estate choices, but in fact, everything's going to be under Compass. Compass is bringing its tech-driven model, and they promise $225 million a year in cost savings. So what does that mean to you as a consumer? It means certain parts of the back end of the operations of those systems are going to remain the same. Procedures usually remain the same in mergers and acquisitions. Some leadership is probably going to disappear. Some agents will probably leave. Investors are skeptical. Compass stock dropped on the announcement, with many questioning whether or not the 84% premium paid for Anywhere was too rich in a sluggish market. And it is true. This market has been waiting for a moment to truly feel like we have turned a corner. But every time, it's like real estate interest rate constipation. Every time it feels like, oh my God, this could be the moment. Some new news happens, something tragic happens, something war-related happens, something tariff-related happens, some new jobs report or inaccurate information comes out and investors get all freaked out again. So it's not good. This isn't just mergers and acquisitions, though. This is consolidation on a scale that the industry has not seen before. Yes, that is what some investors are saying. So James Dwiggins, who I consider a friend, he wrote on LinkedIn, I had a lot of people DM me yesterday saying they were really concerned about the acquisition of Anywhere by Compass and that it could force them out of business long term. Here's the kicker. I've had a larger number of DMs from people at Anywhere brand reach out saying they'll be leaving because they want nothing to do with Compass leadership or the philosophies or how they do business. So the agent attrition before the ink on the merger is dry. But then Eric Johnson, the CEO of Mission Realty Advisors and a Compass agent, offered a different view. He said, I agree, change is coming and strong agents know their name is their brand. Okay. Clients hire them, not just the logo on the sign. But this acquisition is a win for consumers. It gives them leverage to push back on NAR and MLS rules that punish fiduciary strategy. Hold that over here for a second. And on portals like Zillow that have added a hidden undisclosed tax. Compass just made it possible to challenge outdated systems. The future belongs to agents who advise, not just comply. Here's why his comment means something. So one of the things that Compass is really good at is like behind the scenes, like they communicate a lot with their agents. Like, you know, Robert Refkin makes a lot of like social media posts and like emails to the agents, whatever. These talking points are speaking directly to the Zillow lawsuit that we just talked about, calling their flex program a undisclosed tax. I take issue with that because I don't believe that the consumer is paying that tax through artificially inflated fees. I really don't. And if they were, that would be a very new thing, not a very old thing. And I don't even think people have their shit together enough to do that in mass anyway. And who are the agents who are even paying for leads? They're the hungriest, desperatest, don't have any other source of income agents. They are not the ones who are confident enough to even negotiate a higher fee. This is just my hypothesis. It says it gives them leverage to push back on NAR and MLS rules that punish fiduciary strategy. So what is he saying there? So in Robert Refkin's Inman op-ed, prior to my response to it, he likens our moment to an NCAA college athlete moment. Now, I just so happened to be partners with somebody who was one of those very NCAA college athletes who had his image and likeness used without any compensation. So I get where he was trying to go, but it's like too late and also for your advantage. Compass has used Clear Cooperation NAR rules to their advantage all of this time. Like really since Clear Cooperation came out, Compass found a way to exploit it by creating a private listing network that would be good statewide if they only had one broker for the entire state. I have taken this issue up publicly, privately, even with NAR. Their hands are completely tied. Their rule is their rule. They are not willing to change it, and they don't care that it has been exploited. So I find it very rich that he's coming out acting like that this guy, but also Refkin publicly in that op-ed, is coming out acting as if these rules have been so unfair to them. These rules have not been unfair to them. What are they calling unfair? What they are calling unfair is that under the state law, it's not illegal to market a listing off the MLS. Not illegal. But under our professional code of ethics, we collectively as an industry agree that we collectively find that the duty we have to serve the public is to provide them with maximum exposure to as many listings as possible in the name of fair housing, in the name of the American dream, and in the name of preventing any accusations of discrimination for holding any kind of inventory for a particular type of buyer that you want. Like I remember back in the day during like COVID, when there would be agents who literally were asking me to qualify my buyers, send them over their financial statements before they'd even give us a showing. And it always felt very intrusive. But now it's like the barrier to getting Compasses and this whole Anywhere conglomerates off-market listings for an agent who is working with a client they have a relationship with is going to either be probably a subscription fee. I'm just making that up. They haven't announced that, but I'm just saying they're either going to use it to generate revenue from us, making them as big a rapist as Zillow of agents, you know? Honestly, just so that we can do our job better, they're going to hold the inventory off. And it gives them this weird marketing advantage. Yes, maybe. So they're going to say to their sellers, like, look, we can private list this on our private listing network that rivals Zillow. I think that's, you know, what they could go for. Or they could say to Zillow, Zillow, you either change your rule about us or we're going to take all of our inventory off Zillow. If they're not part of the MLS and they're not part of NAR, like if there's no requirement for Compass and Anywhere brands to be part of those big major organizations, in the short term, they might win something. They might win some freedom to do whatever the hell they want to do, right? But in the long term, does everyone win? Or do we consumers and agents all lose? Like NAR's flawed. I've been vocal about this. But it's still a place that is our place that we can change and we can fix, I think. But if 50% of, I don't know, I'm just saying, 50% of like, I don't know if they're really going to be 50%, but I'm just saying, hypothetically, if like 50% of the inventory is no longer accessible to us except through some paywall, then I would expect that there should be some, probably more lawsuits, because that just doesn't feel right. Not only does it feel anti-competitive, but it also nothing to do with the seller, because the fiduciary responsibility between a seller and their client is to market the property for the highest price, do what's in best interest of the seller, and never is holding inventory away from all of these other hungry buyers in the best interest of the seller. And then if you even look at the phased marketing strategy, it's like we're testing the price, you know, but really who wins? The dual agent wins. And you can ask Compass agents this, they will never say, oh yeah, we love dual agents. They love dual, of course, Compass wants both sides of the transaction. So maybe part of this is the state outlawing dual agency, but that doesn't make it a win for consumers either, in my opinion, because then like my Acme buyer couldn't write an offer on my Acme listing. So I don't know. It's a conundrum. Anyway, so he says, Compass just made it possible to challenge outdated systems. The future belongs to agents who advise, not just comply. I mean, we have to have some professional standards. What do they say? Freedom without common values is anarchy? Yeah. There have to be some rules. Rules that we all agree to as a profession, and rules that our clients can count on as the way things are done. And unless there's data, and just based on the fact the majority of privately marketed listings end up on the MLS, I would say the three-phase strategy is more of a marketing scheme to capture the client than it is a successful marketing strategy, you know? So they're outwitting the days on market. Yeah, they're not testing the actual open market. They're testing an in-house market with the hope of dual agency and the marketing advantage of saying, we've got something your agent doesn't know about. Come on over to the dark side or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, fear of flight versus belief disempowers agents and consumers. And here's where it gets interesting. Eric's comment calls out Zillow directly, which makes me feel that maybe in those back-end emails, is Compass informally backing the narrative in the Zillow lawsuit? Like, were those Eric's thoughts, or is he just like kind of regurgitating some like back-end email Kool-Aid drinking narrative? Don't know. Because, you know, Zillow now is very much under attack very publicly by almost every Compass agent that I see leaving comments on anything. So I don't have proof of that, so I'm going to go allegedly. But we do know that Compass has its own lawsuit against Zillow right now over this listing access rule. So if their leaders are aligning their messages with plaintiffs in this new case, it could signal a coordinated play to chip away at Zillow's dominance on two fronts, legally and in the court of public opinion. So something to watch. Those are just my thoughts. But anyway, I want to connect the dots here. Zillow's lawsuit questions how consumers find agents and what they pay for it. And it is also questioning whether or not transparency is required when you're paying a referral fee, and whether or not we actually believe in the veracity of our resolution against in light of the NAR lawsuit. So if we truly believe that the buyer understands they have the right to negotiate their fees with the buyer agent, then anything the buyer agent decides to do, whether it's paying a referral fee or not, is probably a moot point, my opinion. But the Compass Anywhere merger questions who controls the brokerage landscape, who makes the rules. Is NAR on its way out as far as rulemaking? Are MLSs also just further exploitative? Like, what's their purpose now? They don't market cooperating commission. They just aggregate our listings and charge us fees and put their branding on it and never give us the right to market our own branding through the IDX feed, further confusing consumers as to who the listing agent is. But both stories are revealing the same truth, which is that the real estate landscape is shifting. It is changing. It is being reshaped by lawsuits. Those same clowns that are on LinkedIn talking about how they're consumer advocates, but really just want to be the attorney you pay to do the job of an agent, minus the heart. You know, like, they're not known for caring. You don't ever hear about attorneys answering their phones Sunday at 6 p.m. while they're eating dinner and not charging you for that. Anyway, so lawsuits, mergers, shifting loyalties. We'll see how it all plays out. But for buyers and sellers, you need to pay closer attention to who you're working with and how they are incentivized, right? Like, you need to know what their ethics are, and we need to share with our clients, like, what we stand for. Not that they need to be inside, you know, a fly on the wall in our industry lawsuits, but at least we know where the pitches are and how to, like, defend ourselves against these pitches. And if you feel things are unethical, you know, maybe they are. Looks like a duck, walks like a duck. And for agents and brokers, maybe the old playbook is not it. It's not gonna work anymore. But I want to, before we wrap, talk about Fixer.ai. Fixer, Fixer, I don't really know. I don't know how to say it. It's Fixer.ai. I learned about it at the Reimagine conference. I've seen ads for it on Instagram. I always thought, yeah, another email organizing tool. It's not gonna be useful. But in fact, I found it very, very useful. I'll tell you why. I currently, if you look at my email, have about 40,000 unread messages. And many of those are marketing messages, and some of them are emails I should have responded to, but, you know, then something else changed and a new email came, so I didn't respond to it or whatever. So what it does is you connect your Google Suite account, you connect your email account, you connect your calendar, you could connect Outlook as well, probably other ones, and it learns your preferences. You can also advise it of your preferences, like, with what rate do you want it to draft a response? It actually drafts your response to basic emails for you, and it has a link. It provides a scheduling link, so it can let people know, like, oh, I'm not available tomorrow, but I am available between 12 and 1 on Thursday, you know, whatever, help you with scheduling, all this. Because if you're in LA, I know you're driving around quite a lot, and we don't always have time to stop at a red light and respond to emails. So it does a really good job of drafting email responses for you, saving you time that way. It organizes by color things that need to be responded to. It organizes marketing emails out, and really just makes your email much easier to manage. I know I've saved time. I know I have already saved time using this app. James Dwiggins brought it up at Reimagine. I'm so glad he did, because I'm like, yay. I have a new tool. So I wanted to share that with you. I guess the thing I don't know and I should know is, like, do they have access to my data? What do they do with my data? It's definitely not good for high touch interactions. Like, it doesn't know how to write a complicated email response. It makes errors there. It might guess what you're going to say, but you usually have to, anything that requires, like, a second level of thought or more explicit instructions, it might not be able to do, at least right away. But if your inbox is like mine, where you get a lot of escrow and title emails and transactional emails and questions from clients and agents and whatever, it definitely helps me organize my inbox, helps me manage on the go. I just truly love it. And I love the scheduling app. Anyway, that does it for this episode of The Clean Close. I am your host, Courtney Polis, going through everything headlines shaking in real estate, like Compass acquiring Anywhere and Zillow's new lawsuit. We have a new lawsuit every day. And of course, my very favorite thing, the AI tools. I do have a YouTube channel at Real Estate AI Coach, but I'm going to be adding AI tools into every single episode of The Clean Close, focusing on real estate news headlines and opinion editorial. Please, if you love this episode, share it with your friends, share it with your network. I'm trying to build it and I want to build fast. Click subscribe, comment, do all the things. And I'll see you next time. We're doing this weekly at The Clean Close. Cheers.